Now, as a result of last night's, or yesterday's moves, as of midnight last night, there was something that happened that you may not have been aware of, because there was so much talk about the equal marriage and so much talk about abortion rights, that indeed the pensions of those injured in the Troubles may have been overlooked to some extent. I want to speak to campaigner Alan McBride from the Wave Trauma Centre. Alan, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Alan, you're very aware of what it's like to have suffered in the Troubles, having lost loved ones. This victim's pension that came to the fore last night, because as of last night, the government is now duty-bound to bring forward legislation for a pension for those injured during the Troubles through no fault of their own. Just explain to us where we are with this, Alan, please.
Well, the Wave Injured Group, Frank, has been campaigning on this issue for about the past 8 or 9 years. We've been up and down to Stormont. We've had cups of tea and sympathy. We've met with all the political parties at Stormont. Everybody, every single politician we met with said this is a really good idea and they wanted to get behind it. Unfortunately, as is common in Northern Ireland when it comes to reasonably controversial issues, Sinn Féin and the DUP couldn't agree on the eligibility. So we had to take our fight to Westminster, and it was through the Westminster legislator that we were able to finally get it through in July of this year when the pension was given royal assent. We had a lot of people agitating in the background on our behalf, people like Lord Hayne, Lord Eames, and others as well. And so this is a really good news story today for many hundreds of injured victims listening to this programme. So what happens now basically is that there will be a consultation which will be launched today. That is part of the process that has to happen before things can become law. Apparently, I would much prefer there to be no consultation, because I think that all the issues have been well articulated to date. And what we really need now is to drill down into the minutiae of this pension to see how it's going to operate. But nevertheless, it has to happen. The consultation will start. Government will bring forward legislation in January, draft legislation. They will then work on that, and that will finally become law in the round about May time. So we're hoping that people who were seriously injured by the conflict in Northern Ireland, through no fault of their own, should expect to receive a payment of some sort by about May of this year.
Will it be backdated to any extent?
It will be backdated to 2014, and the reason for that, of course, is that the pension was first muted in relation to the government in the Stormont House Agreement of 2014. So basically, what we've been arguing for, and obviously this is all to be worked out yet, but somebody who is at the very serious end of disability, so you're talking about paraplegic, double amputees, people who are blind, deaf, etc., should expect to receive a payment of around about £10,000 per year as a pension. That will then backdated to 2014. So in addition to that, they should receive a lump sum of 6 years. So someone at the high end of that, £10,000 per year, next year will be 6 years, will be a £60,000 lump sum plus the pension. So it's not money that they're going to change the world on. I mean, this is a relatively modest pension, but it will give people the likes of Peter Heath, through Jenna McNair, and some of the campaigners that have been absolutely stalwart in their lobbying on this issue. It should give them a little bit of financial independence, and that's really important in these days, especially when the whole threat of welfare reform is coming down the track, etc., etc. So it's a good news story, Frank, for many, many hundreds of injured victims.
If a deserving recipient was unfortunately to pass away between now and next year, would their estate get this pension?
Unfortunately not, Frank. I mean, that was one of the issues that came up when we were doing when we were working on the detail and stuff like that. They'll not be given retrospectively, so it'll only be for those who are still around whenever the pension becomes law, unfortunately. It will also be given to them and to their carers in the event that someone should pass away after having received the pension. Their carer will continue to receive that pension until their days are over as well.
Can a member of a paramilitary organisation get this pension if he or she wasn't injured while carrying out an actual act of terrorism, but was in a terrorist organisation?
Well, that's obviously part of some of the grey areas that need to be legislated upon. My understanding at the moment is that, yes, that is conceivable. as long as they weren't, you know, involved in their own misfortune with regards to planting bombs or shooting people. But yes, that is something that has yet to be worked out. Obviously, there's a lot of detail to be worked out on the back of this, Frank, and we're working with the NIO in relation to trying to get that as tight as possible.
Do you feel that everyone will accept what they deserve if there is a grey area around the status of some other people who are getting it?
Well, I mean, I suppose it's like everything in Northern Ireland. You know, there are those, and I've indeed heard from people who have said that they won't take the pension if one terrorist gets it. And I mean, I understand that sentiment coming from where I come from. But at the other end of the scale, you know.
Well, unfortunately, our line has gone down there to Alan, but we've fully got the gist of what he is saying with regards to this, because I'm sure he was about to say at the other end of the scale there are people who are waiting on their money and who feel they richly deserve it and deserved it many years ago. It's 26 minutes to 10. 0289 033 105 077 66 105 105. If whatever is on your mind this morning, we're happy to hear from you here on the U105 phone in. Just looking at the texts there, one from Johnny saying good luck to everyone who's hoping to get the pension. It's long overdue. Caroline is making a point as well. She says it's good that people will be getting these pensions, but terrorists must not get them. Just go back to Alan for just your final point on that, Alan, in relation to me speaking about some people refusing the pension because of a grey area surrounding others that many would feel are not deserving and some would say are deserving. What's your final point on that, Alan, please?
Well, I've heard comments, and of course I understand the very strong sense of emotion that's involved in these issues, but I would also encourage your listeners, Frank, to think about the many hundreds of people that will benefit from this pension. The vast majority of those were involved in no organisation, paramilitary organisation or other, and they're the ones that are going to benefit from this pension. So I would ask people, rather than to focus in on the few who might indeed be eligible for this pension, to think of the many, many hundreds of people that are going to benefit from this, and just to start to celebrate. This is a good news story. This is not a bad news story. And I know there are those naysayers and you know, others who would come on and would try to talk this up and doing so would talk it down. You know, I would ask them to think about the many hundreds of people who, through no fault of their own, were injured in this pension and are going to benefit from this. That's the good news story here today.
Alan, thank you very much indeed. Alan McBride from the Wave Trauma Centre, who of course, lost loved ones at the time of the Shankill atrocity. This is the U105 phone-in. Good morning to you. 02890 333 105. As we always say, there may be a topic, there may be an issue that you're thinking about that'll never cross our mind. Do give us a ring and we'll have a yarn with you here on this open door policy at U105.